All right, I'll start reading here at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. 19. In the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when?
Now.
Until now. Praise God. All right, we're talking here about manifesting the sons of God, but we're specifically in this area we call vengeance and recompense, and we're in part 8 of volume 2. Praise God. All right, now, this idea of vengeance and recompense. Now, we want to get another degree of understanding, if you will, about this and what it means. And because the more understanding you get from it, the more you'll be able to use it personally in your life. And it is something for today. As a matter of fact, it is vital for today because vengeance hadn't been preached. Many people in God's kingdom, many of the saints have been victims. And so we're going to break the power of that and through this teaching. So now, as we look at it, the thing that we're talking about now is a day, a special day that's come about. So let's go first to that. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 102. And I'll ask you to turn fairly quickly because I want to get to cover some territory today. And I need to cover these things quickly. Verse 13, Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, Zion symbolized into church, as we said. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. All right? Now, so we're talking about set time. This is a program, divinely programmed time of God, that something is supposed to happen. And so, as we looked at this in terms of something happening, let's go over to Joel, the book of Joel, J-O-E-L. And in the book of Joel, we want to look at what was prophesied about the church in the last days. Now we know, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, I believe it is, that God said that he's going to sit, Jesus will be seated until, he says, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So the enemies of God will be made his footstool. But also he said, now this, just stay where you are, please. Also he said in Psalm 110, he said that the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And also in Psalm 66 and verse 3, he says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves to you. So all this is not going to be done without some power. And so now we see over in Joel, he says here in verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, chapter 2, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, when? In the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I won't finish that. Verse 26. And you shall eat plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be what? Shall never be ashamed. Glory to God. All right. Praise God in heaven. So now what we said is rain. Now, what is this whole idea of rain? Well, rain is really symbolic of the anointing, that there is an anointing that's going to be coming in the last days, that this anointing is going to be doing some things. And one of the things we see here is that it's through this anointing, he says that I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten. So there's going to be restoration going on in these last days. And that this rain is also a time of beautifying the church, and it's bringing vengeance into the operation of the church, that some things could be done that had not perhaps been done before because of various reasons. So now what we are saying here is that there's a set time, there's a rain of restoration coming, and that God is going to refine the saints and bring vengeance in this time. Now, what we said is we had to define vengeance, and basically, what does vengeance mean? And what we said is vengeance has nothing to do with hatred or emotional resentment, but affliction proceeding from love of justice. Oh, I had another definition here. It is the necessity of punishing offenders. It is the necessity of punishing offenders. Now, we got a hold of this word vengeance from Isaiah 61. Let's go there, please. And over in Isaiah 61, we've read it a number of times now, so I won't read it all again. But it's the same place that Jesus read from when he stood up in the garden, in the synagogue to read at 33 years old. And he started reading, but he stopped at a certain point. He said in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's when he closed the book and sat down. And what he left out was the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all, I ask and underline all, that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And for your shame, verse 7, you shall have double. All right? Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love judgment or justice, and I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. All right, now, as we look at this, one of the things that the devil is he's a thief. And the devil is the engineer of every robbery in your life. Now, the enemy has been running systems in this earth, tied into one big system. And in these systems, he's got spheres of influence by which he manages to keep this system flowing, whether it be a system of commerce or a system of media or education, whatever it is. Now, all these are working together, but now there have been some things that God had planned to do in terms of the church being able to take over each one of these mountains or spheres of influence. In other words, all of Satan's work before Jesus comes back is going to be under our feet. That the church is going to be in the position here of rulership or dominion. Now, this has got to happen, and it's got to happen fairly quickly. Because what there is now is a set time, And the set time is a divinely a purposed time that God has given in this earth that certain things are supposed to happen. I don't want to start with that. But so this vengeance is something that proceeds out of a love of justice, but it's necessary for punishing offenders. Now this, I want you to stay here because we got to get this. I can sense in my spirit when you're getting this. Now vengeance is something that is in the Bible, and it's in various places in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this theme of justice is woven throughout the Bible. And justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. So as we get closer to the Lord's return, notice what he said in Revelations, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. Now, this kingdom, thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be what? Done. Well, how does the will get done? Because the kingdom came. So you and I now are bearers and carriers of this new kingdom. That we're coming into this earth to colonize it. We're coming into this earth to bring the culture of another kingdom. And for that new culture to take over the culture that's existing here right now. So then where they had hate, it'll be love. Where they had sadness, it'll be joy. Where they had poverty, there'll be plenty. Where the whole, the new covenant, the new culture is coming in. Now we're the carriers of that. And so now, this theme of justice is something that is a part or is a part of heaven's government. And it's something that must be established prior to the second coming of our Lord. Are you with me so far? All right. Everything that is now contrary to the rule and justice and laws of God are to be brought under subjection. Now, don't look at how it looks, because the laws of the kingdom of God and the seeds or the word of God is stronger than anything else. And so when I say that, I mean this. Let's say you come into a place that's a lot of hate. Well, you're going to bring love. Don't ever think that hate is stronger than love. Got it? Let's go into a place you bring in truth, and there's been nothing but lies. Don't ever look at this situation and think that the lies are going to win out over you. That's my point. My point is that the kingdom of God and its elements are much stronger than the system or kingdoms or elements of this world. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. The kingdom of God is light. The kingdom of the devil is darkness. Which is stronger? The light is stronger. All right. Now that's for you to keep in mind, because if you go somewhere and people are not acting right, don't look at that and think that's going to overpower you. Okay. All right. All right. Then we said also that justice is the justice system throughout the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. The justice system throughout the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. Now, if you just go back and you look at it, now I'll tell you what we do. Now, remember what I said. Here's what I said. I said that justice is, vengeance is something that proceeds out of, from a love of justice. Got it? And then I said, it's the necessity of punishing offenders. Now, God is a good God. Say God is a good God. He's a God of love. Say he's a God of love. Say he's the judge. All right? And he is a God of justice. Say that. All right. Now, the justice that we're talking about in the kingdom is a little bit different than the justice that's been here on this earth. And so some things have got to be straightened up. Now, just stay with me. So, here is God, and he takes Moses, these examples now, and he takes Moses, and he's got to bring Moses into his place. And Moses has got to lead the children of Israel out. So it takes vengeance to get Moses established. And it's going to have to take vengeance to get the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's hand. All right. So now God calls Moses. Now just listen at me because I've got to take you through this. He calls Moses. And he first, in Exodus chapter 4, he demonstrates to Moses this idea of power. And what he does is he turns and demonstrates it by turning a stick or a staff into a snake. Stay with me. Lord have mercy. Now he's showing Moses something because he's got to get Moses with a different attitude about facing Pharaoh. Yes. Yes. So he demonstrates power. Yep. And Moses is used to Pharaoh being entertained by sorcerers. That's part of the entertainment down there. That was part of the arts and entertainment. That he would call sorcerers and they would do things. Now, in this particular case, that what they would do, Lord have mercy. Stay with me now. Can I just because I want to give you this just right off the press. Bless God. That he was showing Moses this power, because that's what you need for enemies to submit. And he knew Pharaoh was going to ask him for some, to show him something. And he was also giving Moses a new perception of God, because God manifests the way you perceive him. Stay with me. He wanted Moses to see God in unlimited aspects. And in this, he wanted, Lord have mercy, to see Moses. He wanted to work through Moses and use Moses' faith to turn an object into another object. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Yes, glory. Jesus is starting his ministry. The enemy comes to Jesus and he tempts him. He said, now, if you are really who you say you are, turn this stone into bread. Question. Could Jesus have done that?
Yes.
I didn't ask you would he. I asked you could he.
Yes.
Yep. He could do it. But did he do it?
No.
Nope. Why? Because of where the request came from. Now you got it? Him doing that would have caused him now to start bowing to that demon. Got it? Because God wasn't in that. But my point to you is, God wasn't in it, but he could still have done it. I'm gonna wreck your theology right now. You got to see this here. Because the laws of God can be worked. Do you remember when the woman with the issue of blood got healed? You remember what Jesus said to her? What did he say to her? Daughter, come on, come on. Thy faith has got to heal. Did he say God healed you? No, he didn't say God healed her. We know God healed her and God healed you 2,000 years ago. Now, this is key for you to see this, because there's some laws here that the sorcerers could come and start working. And I believe that Satan, the enemy, taught them laws, because the enemy was around the throne of God as Lucifer. He was anointed cherub that covered the throne of God and got kicked out of there. And there's some things he knew. And I'm only saying here that he could have turned that stone into bread, or the bread, bread. And the point of it is, you just told me, said, hey, God wasn't in that. Yet he could do it. This is very, very key to you here now. I'm saying that's why the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 8, what is man? He was saying this man's got a lot of power. Now, my point to you is, my point is that the sorcerers had a hold of something. That they could turn one thing into something else. Because they did it. They did it. But thank God Moses' snake ate up their snakes. But they did do it. And so forth. Now, Moses had been brought up in a camp in Pharaoh's household where he had seen those miracles. He knew what the witch doctors could do. And when he came down there, confronted Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. God said, let them go. Pharaoh said, no. I'm going to let him go. Here comes the first plague. Now notice what he was doing. This is the thing I was trying to get to you. It was the necessity of punishing offenders that God didn't desire to punish him. When I say that, I mean, anybody that's coming against you going to end up dealing with God. Because the new anointing that's on you of the Holy Spirit is on you that will execute vengeance against anyone that's coming against God's people. Watch this. And nothing shall escape him. Now, if you know you walking in that kind of righteousness and power, then your whole attitude changes. Because now he had to face a man that was more powerful, much more powerful, and a man that had a warrant out on his life. And he went in there and talked to him face to face and said, "Let my people go." Now, how did he get there? He got there to a change of the, because of the understanding of the vengeance of the Lord. And I'm telling you, God's people must understand this. We must understand that when we start a business, nothing gonna come against it. We must, because when the justice is not in the system, then people lose hope and faith. And you need faith for God to work. If you know nothing can hurt you, why, how do you think Daniel could go in a lion's den and go to sleep? You know, you're looking at that like it was some lights in there. That was a cave. The rock was over the cave. There was no light. He was in there just hearing, lions grabbing. I mean, what would you have done? But when you know nothing, I'm saying cancer, come on. I'm saying when you know nothing can hurt you, when you know nobody can steal from you, can rob you, when you know anybody that's humiliating you, if they set a trap for you, they're gonna fall into it. When you know that, you will walk with a new level of confidence and courage. You gotta understand this. Because vengeance hasn't been preached, we've been victims. You will never be discouraged again. Yes, right. Never. Hallelujah. Discouragement is not even in my agenda. Thank you, Lord. I get frustrated sometimes trying to get stuff over to people, but discouragement is not there.
Amen.
Preach it, Pastor. Say amen to this.
Amen.
I mean, if I feel myself getting down, I'd be like David. I just call for the ephod and encourage myself.
Yay!
Stir it up.
Good word, Pastor.
This is what I'm talking about. I'm saying, no, God didn't want to destroy Pharaoh. But look what he did. He put one plague and he wouldn't let him go. Another plague, he wouldn't let him go. Another plague, and by the time he killed him, those cows and horses died. Then his advisors told him, let the people go, get them out of here. And he still went, why? His heart was hardened. He's a proud man. He's so forth and so on. And I'm telling you, some people that are trying to hold folk back in the church are proud people. They got the money, they got the positions, they got all the authority, and they think they can hold you back. But God is telling them, let my people go. Because you've got a destiny that you must fulfill. That's the latter rain. That's the end time anointing. Say amen to this. Now, if you believe it, it'll work. If you don't, come on, it won't. Because it won't go around that. But you can be in a group of people. I mean, you can be in a place where believers are and get some coming to spill over, praise God. But God wants you to believe things because you're going to be out on your own sometime. And all you got to do with this is just read it and believe it. He said he's going to comfort all that's mourn, that mourn. Comfort all that mourn. Comfort all that mourn. Comfort all that mourn. See, recompense is not just God bringing back to you what was lost. In terms of loss, in terms of material things. That's not all of recompense. When he said recompense, Lord have mercy, y'all with me? When he said recompense, he is also talking about anything stolen in any area that has to do with your redemption. anything. It recompense could be in your health. Recompense could be in your relationships. Recompense can be in a reputation of yours that's been destroyed. Recompense, I'm saying recompense can be in discipline. Recompense can be in wisdom and knowledge and skill. I'm talking about recompense. I'm not talking about something that it takes you three generations to recover. I'm saying he will avenge you speedily. That's Luke chapter 18. He's going to avenge, say amen to that. Why? Because it's going to be an anointing. It's going to be an anointing. He can drop an anointing on you tonight, and you can play a piano like Wayne in the morning. That's by, come on now, come on, y'all got to see me now. See, turn with, oh Lord. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 105. Are y'all tracking with me here? See, this is a powerful message. Powerful. It's almost how high can you think? Because this is breakthrough thinking I'm doing here. You can't think these thoughts without the Holy Ghost. Folks, one night they were poor. The next night they were rich. That's called speedily. Say amen to that. See, he's doing it for the building. And that's why you see in what? Exodus chapter 31 or whatever it is. It says, and God anointed them. He dropped on them the spirit of, Bezalel. The spirit of Bezalel for the building. Now, they didn't know how to build. They didn't have those skills. But God just dropped on them the skills. That's called empowerment. And he can empower you to do things. Because Adam didn't function in the garden by University of Chicago or Northwestern. Adam functioned in the garden by the anointing. There was no college in there. There was only God and him. And the anointing teacheth. Now, I'm talking about an intellect or wisdom that created the world. I'm not talking about a wisdom that is outside of that. I'm talking about one that created the world. The world right now doesn't even have any idea the kind of wisdom that you're about to come into. See, because when God created the world, he wasn't done creating. He's about to pick up from where he left off with you. Boy, I'm talking better. You better hear me now, because I'm coming out of the Holy Ghost. It's powerful stuff. I told you, the only wise God, that's what it says in Jude. The only wise God can't have all dumb kids. The only wise God's got wise kids. You got the mind of Christ. I said, you've got the mind of Christ. Now, I'm only saying this because this is the anointing now. This is the latter rain anointing. This is what's coming on you. Where did I tell you to turn? Praise God. 105. Oh, Lord. How much more time I got? Well, I'm trying to get this over to you. And I almost got to push it out and get it out to get it out there. You ain't seen nothing yet. God's about to beautify the church. Beautify means anything that's making you uncomfortable. He said he's going to comfort all that mourn. Anything that's making you uncomfortable is about to be removed. And you got to understand, faith to make one, another object out of another object. I was reading in a book, this man talking about money. And see, we've known God as El Shaddai, praise God, thank God for that. But he's also Elohim. And that's what it brings out in Psalm 82. He said, Elohim, it said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Selah. Well, if you look at that in Hebrew, it says Elohim stand in the midst of the Elohims and judgeth among the Elohims. He's the big Elohim, we the small Elohims. That means creator God. That's the same one that's in the beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. So we many times have not known him as Elohim because he can take a crooked stick and make a snake out of it. He can take so forth and so on. One guy said he was in there and he had a meeting, and I guess they had the meeting and they had to pay for the auditorium out of the offerings of the meeting, but they got back and counted the offerings and they were way short. And he went out and said, God, now what am I going to do about this? He said, count it again. The guys counted it again and came out with more money. And then he said, God, it's still not enough. Tell them to count it again. They counted again. Every time they counted the money, it multiplied. I'm telling you, suppose every time at home you start counting your money. Remember what I said. Now, God is going to manifest to you as you perceive him. If you don't perceive him as a creator, one that can make something out of nothing, one that can multiply meal, one that can multiply bread and fishes, one that can multiply $100 bills, then he can't do it for you. Does that make sense to you? If he can multiply loaves and fishes, why can't he multiply that currency in your pocket? Well, God will be counterfeiting. God will be counterfeiting. All of it's counterfeit. It ain't no good, no way. It ain't got no gold behind it. Now you got to start thinking, because remember what I tell you, you're going to prosper as your soul prospers. He is not going to go around your thinking. So if you don't think this, he can't do it for you. Even though it's a part of the aspect of God. He was trying to show Moses something, that he can take his faith and turn an object into another object. And so can you. I said so. Now, what did I tell you to turn? Are you all with me? I told my wife, I said, baby, I said, you know what they're trying to do? I said, I'm these church folk trying to live naturally when they've been made for the supernatural. We still trying to live naturally. Naturally, you can't lead the devil going naturally. You got to go up into the super to dominate him. Say amen to that. And when you do that, you're not going to look natural to people. I mean, you're going to look kind of like weird, you know. Yeah. Now, I ain't saying, now come and get your start getting weird, but I'm talking about Bible weird. Man, it's time now for us to see creative miracles. It's time for us, and there's nothing but laws. That's all it is. It's just laws. Stop complicating it. I'm telling you, he could put some more teeth in your mouth before you leave here. Oh, yeah, see, okay, y'all laughing. Maybe you're laughing because you need some teeth. I said anything that's making you uncomfortable, the Holy Spirit is going to fix it. If that tooth is making you uncomfortable, replace it. See, I got y'all thinking. Now you thinking now. All right, look at Psalm 105, verse 37. Put it up. He brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. And there was not one what? Feeble person among their tribe. Translation, there was not one sick person among the 3 million. Not one. Not one. Not one. So when we talk about restoration, we're not just talking about your money. We're talking about your health. Not just talking about your health, we're talking about your mind. Not all this is a part of recompense. Now, who is the enemy? The devil. Not people. See, Moses tried to take vengeance himself, and he ended up killing an Egyptian, and Pharaoh was after him. Because vengeance doesn't belong to us. Who does it belong to? The vengeance belongs to God. Does this make sense to you? All right, let's keep going now. So when the Holy Spirit, number one job of the Holy Spirit now, is to execute vengeance for all the enemies of the people of God, and nothing shall escape him. All right, so he's with you right now, and that latter-day anointing is going to be in you, on you, to execute vengeance. Yes. Now hold it. It's just like any other part of the covenant. You got to act on that.
Yes.
You got to know that that is so. He had to bring Moses face to face with the one that he feared before.
Yes.
Got it? Okay. Now, let's go to Genesis then, chapter 20. Lord, have mercy. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Now, this is what you need. You need some food.
Amen.
All right. In Genesis chapter 20, I'm slowing down because we need to get the pieces of this. Genesis chapter 20. And he says here, he says, verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman which you have taken, for she is another man's wife. Now let me ask you something. Suppose they took your children. See, I'm laying this over this. God's going to deal with anybody that's holding your property. Just hear what I'm saying. Verse 4, and Abimelech had not come nigh her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay the righteous, also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even her herself, said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart, innocency of my hand, and the innocency of my hand, have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in thy integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore, say restore,
restore,
the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are in thine. All right? So now he's telling him just what I shared with you before. I said that when we're talking about recompense or we're talking about vengeance, we gave you a definition here. And we said, hold it just a minute. I got my papers here. I'll get it out and so forth. Okay. We said that vengeance proceeds, I'm done now. Vengeance proceeds from a love of justice, the necessity of punishing offenders. Now, notice what he told him. He said, now, the woman that you're holding, she's another man's wife. And what I want you to do is I want you to get this woman out of here and get it back to this man. If you don't, you're going to die. Now, and all that are thine, in other words, I'm not only going to take you out, but I'm going to take your whole seed out. I'm going to take every trace that your family has been in this earth. I'm going to take them out. This is cold-blooded, folks. I mean, that's all I can say about it. Praise God. I'm glad I'm on the right side here. And unto Sarah, he said, verse 16, unto Sarah, he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. unto all that are with thee and with all other, thus she was reproved. Let me read that out of the Living Bible again. Then he turned to Sarah and said, look, he said, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver as damages, say damages, for what I did, to compensate for any embarrassment, say embarrassment. So you can actually get compensated for every time Satan has caused embarrassment to you and your family and your life and so forth. To settle any claim against me regarding this matter, now justice has been done. All right, just give you the translation of that. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. So you're not trying to destroy anybody. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get the kingdom advanced. And if they're standing in the way and won't let it go, they destroy themselves. And his wife, now watch this. He prayed, watch this now. And God healed Abimelech, watch this, and his who? Wife, and his who? Maid servants, and they bear children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of who? Sarah, Abraham's wife. I'm telling you, if they hold something that belongs to you, the whole house. Now, I'm not trying to come against people. I'm saying that you're in a time that God is going to finish the work that he started to do in the Garden of Eden, and it's going to be done. He's going to rebuild ruined places. He's going to rebuild lives of people. And injustice is still going on in this world today. And folks, when you're talking about injustice, there's all kinds of stuff been going on. And I've just kind of got my thinking together and I said, it wasn't just with Pharaoh. Look at the apartheid system of South Africa. Look how they kept those people from owning anything. Look at the Holocaust in Germany. Look what they did to those Jews. Look at Rwanda, the genocide that caused one people, the Hutus and Tutus. Look at the Christians, how they tolerated and even promoted slavery in this country. Look at racial segregation, saying that, hey, one group of people are not as good as the other because of the darkness of their skin. Look at what is going on in terms of poverty in the earth right now. Something like 350 million to 450 million people go to bed hungry every night. Look at the deaths that come from poverty. It's almost like, let me get the number. He said in terms of poverty, something like, glory to God, 26,000 people die a day because of poverty and poverty-related things. I'm saying poverty is a destructive element, and part of it is because of the systems in the earth. The food is in the earth, but it can't get to the people. I'm saying, look what poverty causes in people's lives. Poverty causes people in their lives many times to be in crimes and gangs and violence and rape and molestation and drugs and domestic abuse and prostitution and economic and educational deprivation. Poverty is equally powerful in running discrimination and intimidation and alienation and exploitation. I'm telling you, heaven is coming to earth. God is raising up a people. He said, I'll restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Part of our job is to be trees of righteousness. I'm talking about people going to be able to spot you from all over the world. Your fruits are going to show. They're going to see the things that you're going to do, and you're going to walk around with no sense of inferiority to anything and anybody and any disease. In fact, you will be a master over every force of the devil. You're going to rise up in righteousness and speak, thus saith the Lord. I'm saying you're going to be comfortable for the first time in your life because the spirit of comfort is going to be on you. Also, you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be so beautiful until it's going to attract people into the kingdom from miles around. now. I'm talking about rain. Praise God. It's a lot of rain's going to be on your life. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Now, if you don't have an emergency, I ask you to just not leave yet, because you know Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead in church. I'm telling you, God's gonna get new respect. You're gonna see this thing ain't gonna be nothing to play with. I always tell people this is a grown folk message. And I'm not talking about chronological, I'm talking about spiritually. We need to grow up. We need to grow up and respect God and respect the things that God does. So what am I saying? I'm saying this is the time for the church. This is the greatest time, the most powerful time. This is a time where we're going to make a difference. I'm just expecting to see a flurry of inventions. See, he's going to restore, like I said, where people go in and get caught on some kind of crime or something like that, and all of a sudden they come out and they're disgraced. And let's say the people didn't even do it. But how the news media try to take you and drag you through the mud anyway. Well, God's gonna restore reputations. Everything that the devil did, God's gonna restore. You hear God spoken to your heart about being born again. It's what I said during this message is for you if you're on the right side. God is a God of love. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And he knew that you were going to be here today. He knew that you were going to hear some good news, that finally there can be a justice system, because the courts of the earth didn't give us good justice. Now we got to go to the court of heaven. And when you come into the kingdom, you're authorized to bring the enemy before the court, high court of heaven, and get justice for your life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Winston, that's me. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I've been in church, but I don't know God. If I die tomorrow, I don't know where I go, heaven or hell. I can tell you where you go. Ain't but one place. You don't know God. But in this time now, I'm asking you right now, if you don't know him, that if God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I'd like to pray for you. And I'd like you to make a decision today. Don't put it off tomorrow. Tomorrow, something might happen. Just make that decision today. This is where I had to come to in my life. I had to get serious. Because other than that, I was playing. And you got to make a decision, a firm, good decision today. And I want you to do so. Make a decision for Christ. Let him come into your life. Guaranteed, he'll straighten everything out. So if you're here today and you know I'm talking to you, I want to pray for you right now. Whoever that is, and you know you're not right with God, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now. Whoever that is.